And we're back with What's Ailing America, where my answer today is vaccine-induced diseases. Let me also suggest that you go to drcarly.com, and I have to redo that website. I have so much on my plate. But at the, towards the top of the website, you will actually find the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction. And this is the case in North Carolina. It's from Westlaw for North Carolina, but I can assure you they have the same statutes in every state. And I was so amazed to find this little gem because, in fact, as they define weapons of mass destruction, they say it includes any weapon, device, or method designed or having the capability to cause death or serious injury through the release, dissemination, or impact of a disease organism. And, of course, that includes vaccines. Now, I found this amazing document with the help of Ralph Winterode, who I understand has a show opposite me on Studio A, and he had helped me find this document a few years ago, but it was years after I had written the document, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. Little did I know that subsequently I would actually be able to find this amazing document that proves that vaccines are, in fact, true weapons of mass destruction, according to the law. So, this is another very important thing that people have to realize. And let me just sidebar slightly to read my favorite sentence from the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's the last sentence of the 10th Protocol, and this is what it says. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments, so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, which is in capital letters, so that the boy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and all else. And, you know, when I saw that inoculation of diseases in capital letters, you know, that was kind of interesting because that's another proof that they know exactly what they're doing and that, in fact, this is what they're doing to kill off a large majority of the population. Of course, the wars are key and starvation, you know, is another thing they're doing. We're hearing about all these droughts. Now the price of food is going to go up. You know, people are going to have less ability to even buy food. It's just mind-boggling what these monsters are doing. And it's They're really stepping up the whole agenda. So it's very important to now wake up and face reality that there is a monster under the bed. Because once enough of us realize we're being killed intentionally, and in fact our entire government has been so corrupted that they are actually involved, they are the terrorists against the people, well, I think it's going to be kind of amazing how that works out when people actually get that obvious fact. Another thing that they're using to distract us and actually to try to get us to vaccinate more is talking about more cases of outbreaks of whooping cough and measles in communities all over the country. Now, what they don't tell you is that the majority of the children where these outbreaks are occurring were actually vaccinated because, in fact, the usual thing is for you to have suppression of the viruses and not to develop the overt disease, as it states in Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine. But with all the vaccines the children are getting now, I can't even keep up with it. I think it was 65 by age 5 the last time I checked. If you're foolish enough to get everything they suggest, eventually you're just oozing viruses. You know, there's so many viruses in the body, and that these can actually cause children to get symptoms of disease. All right, there's the music again. We'll be back after the messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where my answer today is vaccine-induced diseases. And in regard to that commercial about bumper stickers, I just want to say how powerful that is, people. I did not get my bumper stickers from Liberty Stickers. I have some stickers available on my website that you can get through Cafe Press in regards to inoculations being the true weapons of mass destruction with my website. And I also have one that says, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, as well as my tag for my car. My license plate is no to vax. And it's really hilarious as I'm out and about, you know, stopping at a red light, I will oftentimes look in my rearview mirror and I'll see people bug-eyed reading my bumper and writing things down. So, in fact, that is a very powerful way that you can, you know, alert the sheep as you're out and about. Have something on your car, whatever your interest is, that will help to wake them up. Whatever we can do to wake up these slave work units, because, as you all know, it's getting very late. But I know I'm preaching to the choir, to the RBN listeners on that one. Okay, before the break, I was talking about how we're hearing more and more cases of these outbreaks of whooping cough and measles, especially. And in fact, it's very interesting that, as I said, the outbreaks are happening in mostly communities where the children have been vaccinated. So what does the CDC do in their plausible deniability mode, which is what they always go to? They basically came up with this idea to say that, and I'm sure you probably saw this on the mainstream media, you know, this was covered on all the cable news networks, that, oh, we found out the pediatricians aren't properly storing the vaccine. You know, they're either freezing them or they're storing them at too low of a temperature, ergo, they're not effective, and that was the problem. I mean, it's just amazing how they never fail to come up with some excuse for why these things are happening. And my response to that is, well, first of all, let's pretend vaccines work and that these idiot pediatricians don't know how to read the label in terms of how they have to be stored. Why would you allow them to inject anything in your child if they're that stupid? How do you know that they're even maintaining proper sterility of their equipment and things of that nature? So that's pretty amazing, but that's what they came up with. And, of course, you know, this excuse was obviously created to address the increasing evidence that more and more vaccinated children are coming down with all kinds of infections because, as I said, as they keep adding more and more vaccines to the schedule, they are oozing so many viruses that eventually some of them do manifest into whatever the condition is. And, of course, isn't it sad that these children could be, you know, basically treated with colloidal silver and the infections would go away in the first place? So this is why people have to do their own research. As I said, check things out for yourself. None of the vaccines, antibiotics, antivirals, none of the things that the big pharma companies create actually cure anything. In fact, they are designed to cause further problems down the line. But this is not just important for you to know about in terms of you and your child. I am very concerned about the pets. And one of the most important documents on either of my websites, which you can access by going to the pet page of Reversing Vaccine-Induced Diseases, is a very important article out of the UK entitled Science of Vaccine Damage by Catherine O'Driscoll. This is such an amazing document. She actually has 19 scientific references from non-pharma-funded veterinarians who conclude what I have been saying for 15 years, that basically vaccines are the stealth bomb of the medical world. In fact, when I read that document, the diseases that they're documenting in vaccine-damaged dogs especially, they were talking about things that I had not even considered. For example, many of the larger pets now are getting all kinds of damage to their joints, especially anterior cruciate ligament tears, which necessitates very expensive surgery to be done on the pets. Usually the first surgery breaks down, then you have to have a second surgery. And, of course, the reason that the cartilage and ligaments are breaking down is because the vaccines are causing an antibody attack on the collagen itself. So your pets are being just as damaged as you and your children are, and I feel so sorry for the innocent pets. In fact, another very important document you can access on that tab, the pet tab on reversingvids.com, is the actual package insert from the rabies vaccine. And you will see in that package insert, it actually says that the tissue culture used to make the vaccine causes autoimmune disease. As I was explaining in the first part of the show, how the antibodies actually attack you. Now, this is the first vaccine insert I have ever seen that admits that. But in fact, it's true for all vaccines. And so, this is something that you need to know. Not only are they injecting your pet with rabies, which can make your pet rabid. As a matter of fact, we had an article here in North Carolina in my local Charlotte Observer, a story about a woman who adopted a kitten from a shelter. The kitten had been vaccinated with rabies, okay, not against rabies. Whenever you hear them say vaccinated against, substitute the word with. Vaccinated with rabies virus. The kitten became rabid. The kitten bit the owner. The kitten eventually died of rabies. The owner, not knowing any better, had to go to get all the vaccine injections that they do for people that are, you know, bitten by a rabid animal, which, of course, think about how insane that is. You've already gotten your exposure by the bite, so how is injecting more rabies into you going to, quote-unquote, protect you? I mean, it's just amazing to me that people don't see the insanity of that. So not only did the woman go through all these things, but she had four or five other pets, and she was forced to put them all in quarantine for months. She had to pay $2,000 a pet. She went to visit the pets. She stated that they were basically in squalor, lying in their own feces and urine, for which she was paying $2,000 per pet to have this service, quote-unquote, provided to her. And, in fact, she got so stressed out that she lost her job and, you know, all these things. So they put an article about this in the newspaper and stated that the shelter that she had adopted the kitten from, of course, they basically said, well, this is not our problem. No, we're not going to compensate you. Gee, sorry how that worked out. And, in fact, what did they recommend? In a big box at the top of the article, what should you do to protect your pets from rabies? You should vaccinate your pet with a rabies vaccine. So here they just told the story about how this kitten was vaccinated, got rabies, and then they're telling you to go do the same thing to your pet. I mean, I just wonder, like, how come people aren't getting it? Okay, very exciting. I have my first caller, Sherry from Kansas. Are you there, Sherry?
Hi, Dr. Carley. Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to let you know what I saw in a local paper. I'm sure the Kansas Department of Health is putting this out to all the county health departments. This was under the county health department that in the county I live in, and they were telling the older people that they should get a DPT booster.
Mm-hmm.
They did the thing about the whooping cough, and it was mainly for the pertussis part, you know, and they were saying, now, they didn't say that, you know, how many of the people that got the, or how many of the cases in Kansas that where there were whooping cough, how many of them were vaccinated. Of course, I'm probably going to have to try to get that out of the health department, but they were encouraging the older people to get a booster for the a DPT booster for the whooping cough part, and they were saying that a lot of older people's physicians don't even suspect whooping cough in older people because they're not familiar with the symptoms. And they're not necessarily the same symptoms that you get when you're younger.
Well, the reason they call it whooping cough is because it's a very characteristically whooping type of cough sound. Matter of fact, there's a commercial on the air that they run on a regular basis. I think the website is Sounds of Pertussis, and they actually, you know, let you hear the sound that the baby makes and tell you how dangerous it is for the child. Of course, if the child was exposed to pertussis and drank colloidal silver, it would be over in a heartbeat. But in that commercial, they're recommending the same thing. They're basically telling the families, and especially mom, that you're so dangerous to your baby. If you get exposed to pertussis and you give it to your baby, you know, this life-threatening infection's going to happen. It's a scam, and there's all kinds of things they're doing, especially with the DPT vaccine. This is the vaccine in which they put the hormone that women make when they get pregnant. And when you develop antibodies against that, you become infertile. So this is another part of their depopulation agenda, not to mention all of the other vaccine-induced diseases that can occur. Okay, we're going to a short break. If you want to stay on, Sherry, please do. We'll be right back after these messages. And we have Sherry on the line from Kansas. And Sherry, I strongly commend you for reading between the lines. That's what I've learned how to do as well. We have to always do that whenever any information, which is usually disinformation, is published in the mainstream media. And I encourage you to call the health department and ask that hard question. Ask them, how many of the children that are getting all of this whooping cough were actually vaccinated? Because, you know, that's what people need to do. We need to put these, quote-unquote, public servants on notice that we are actually, you know, not believing what they're saying. We have hard questions to ask. What I suspect they will probably come up with, which is what I will mention, or I mentioned before, is that they will bring up this alleged discovery that they made where they found that many pediatricians were storing the vaccines at inappropriate temperatures. And they will use that as an excuse to say, well, yes, the children were vaccinated, but the vaccine was either expired or frozen or, you know, stored at too low a temperature or some excuse like that. But I would be very interested to know what they come up with if you do make that call.
Well, and I hadn't heard that that was the excuse that they're putting out, but the thing about the way this article or press release or whatever you want to call it was put out was that they were saying the symptoms of whooping cough in an adult would not necessarily be the same symptoms that you see in a child. So you better get this vaccine. And
right.
So they're not only pushing, trying to get these old people to take a flu vaccine every year, but now they're wanting them to get this booster. And I wonder if they're going to start pushing this in nursing homes. Surely they wouldn't have you get it every year, but what do you want to bet they're going to try to get them to put it in, you know, if you're in a confined facility like that, you know.
Well, I'm here to tell you, Sherry, they've already been doing it for years. As a matter of fact, any resident of a nursing home is forced to get the flu vaccine and the pneumonia vaccine every year. And those two vaccines both have mercury in them. And like I said, mercury does not cause autism, but mercury does cause cell death in combination with aluminum, and that's what's causing Alzheimer's disease. And that's why we have the epidemic of Alzheimer's disease, is because the mercury in the vaccines, in the fish, you know, in our environment, as these traders in the District of Criminals allow our water to be polluted and all kinds of other ways that we're being exposed to it. And so this is what's causing Alzheimer's, and I have proven that because I've also reversed Alzheimer's with my protocol. Now, of course, the key thing in that situation is that the person has to be living with somebody that has an intact memory so they can remember to give their loved one, you know, what they need to take. But, in fact, they're already being forced to do that. As a matter of fact, they're now actually pushing vaccines in hospitals as well. If you go into the hospital for anything, they're going to try to force you to get the flu vaccine. As a matter of fact, a medical doctor who used to practice nephrology and eventually left because she realized that all of her patients had renal disease because of vaccines, before she actually left the practice, she started writing orders when she admitted patients for them not to be vaccinated, and the people vaccinated the patients anyways. As soon as you walk in, take off your clothes, put on your gown, lay down, here's your vaccine. They actually refused to follow that order. So it's being done in hospitals. It's being done in nursing homes. They will use any excuse they can to stick you with a needle.
Well, I knew about the nursing homes and the flu vaccine, but I did not realize that they also pushed that pneumonia vaccine, because it's interesting that when they compile the flu statistics, they always lump them in with the pneumonia. And that's why it looks so, you know, that's why the flu vaccine or the flu, you know, disease statistics, they make them look bad because they've lumped them in with pneumonia, when most of the deaths are probably from pneumonia.
Well, I can tell you a very interesting situation or experience that I had when I was in Long Island. I actually used to be, well, I can still do it, but now I have clients all over, so it's a little more difficult. But I also, besides doing protocols for people, I was a patient advocate. And people would contact me to go into the hospitals and find out what was really going on, because, of course, they would smell a rat because of what was happening to their loved ones in the hospital, especially the elderly patients, how they would oftentimes go downhill and die. And this one particular case, there was an elderly man. He got the pneumonia vaccine in the nursing home. He got pneumonia, of course, because they gave it to him, they injected it into him. He ended up in the hospital. He was just doing just fine, but then one day, they told him he had a low blood count, which, of course, the reason the old people are getting low blood counts is because they're drawing their blood every day. They're actually bloodletting you. So after a certain point, of course, your hematocrit, you know, the very important red cell count that you need to oxygenate your blood, will go down. And they gave him a transfusion. And he had a massive cardiac event. And there's the music. I'll finish that discussion. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is vaccine-induced diseases. We have Sherry on the line from Kansas, and I was telling of my experience in Long Island in regards to this elderly gentleman in a nursing home. Now, let me also mention that the nursing home personnel had been foolish enough to tell the family that basically they had used up all of his estate. See, you have to realize, when you go into a nursing home, they take a snapshot of your financials, and even going back 3 years, if for say, for example, grandparents have given a gift to a grandchild to help them go to college or whatever, if it happened within 3 years before the nursing home admission, that person will be forced to pay that money back. And what they do is they use up all the money in the person's estate. And, of course, they charge a much higher rate for the person to be in the nursing home during that time. Once the estate has been pilfered, then they will put the person on Medicare payments in the nursing home. And, of course, the Medicare payments are much lower. They had actually told the family of this elderly gentleman that, you know, they really needed that bed because they had somebody else waiting to come in, you know, who wasn't on Medicare, or, you know, had Medicare availability, but, you know, could pay the higher rate. And then, like I said, mysteriously, he comes down with pneumonia, ends up in the hospital. He was doing great, sitting up watching TV, totally with it. You know, he was just basically not able to take care of himself because of various chronic situations, but his mind was all there. And then one day they go to the hospital and they're told that he had a massive heart attack. That's when they called me. I went into the hospital, and I can read all their chicken scratch. I know what it means. And I realized that they had given the man a blood transfusion. This was never mentioned to the family. And, in fact, I realized it had to be a mismatched blood transfusion, because that's why he had a massive heart attack. And, of course, this is one of the big risks with transfusions. So I realized that they had done this intentionally. He didn't live very long. Of course, you know, he ended up with gangrene of his feet. They started chopping off his limbs. But I realized that this was actually murder by medicine. I reported a homicide in progress to the Suffolk County District Attorney, Thomas Spoda. And I actually spent a whole day on the phone just trying to make this report. What ended up happening was, it was on a Friday. Over the weekend, they finally killed him off, and then the detective called me back, and he actually said, and I have this on tape, that the same hospital, Brookhaven Hospital, had killed his own mother. He didn't say malpractice, he said killed, but there's nothing he can do. See, so this is how they're getting rid of the elderly people. This is one of the main ways. As I'm sure all the RBN listeners know, the traitors in the District of Criminals already pilfered the Medicare Trust Fund, as they have, you know, the Indian Trust Fund. You know, basically they just steal money right and left from any fund that we contribute to. And so in order to get the old people off the dole, they're killing them. And that's what's happening, and that's what I saw in this case. And I saw it when I was working in the hospital, as I said, back in the early 90s, but it's much worse now. So anybody that puts their loved one into, you know, a nursing home or a hospital, you really have to guard them, because these are the kinds of things that's going on.
Well, that's really incredible. So if, I have a friend whose father went in, I think he said he went in for an appendectomy, and he's just a few years older than me. And then he had a heart attack and a stroke while he was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like you maybe better have someone with him all the time, and maybe you better be making copies of that. Of course, they don't even have a sheet on the end of the bed anymore. They put it all on computer.
Right.
And the Sam Milham, he's a MD that he's got a book, Dirty Electricity. He says that one of the worst places for the dirty electricity that he's ever found was hospitals.
Yeah. Well, there's so many harmful things in the hospitals. There's the superbugs. There's the toxic cocktails of drugs that they're putting people on. As a matter of fact, there's an epidemic of infections called Clostridia difficile, which can be fatal. These are, you know, very common in nursing homes, and this is an infection caused by antibiotics that they give to these old people. And this is another way they're killing the old people off. What I wish we could get back to were the days where the elderly were respected as, you know, the source of wisdom for the younger people, and that, you know, we would take care of these elderly people, you know, in our homes. Why are we shipping off to nursing homes? People don't realize when you show your children your lack of concern for your parents and you ship them off to a nursing home, what do you think your children are going to do when you get to be that age? They're going to do the same thing.
Well, that's all I had. Thanks, Dr. Carley. I sure enjoy listening to you. Bye.
Thank you, Sherry, and please spread the word about the show. Okay, we have another caller, Alex from Vancouver. Are you there, Alex?
I had to go toward the road to get reception, just so you know. We've got walking cell phone towers here, so it was hard to get on your show. I'm glad you're back on RBN. It's about time.
Okay.
Yeah, good to you.
What kinds of things are you seeing in Vancouver? I know it's pretty much the same situation. They're killing the elderly there, too. I get calls from nurses from the U.S. and Canada in regards to, you know, how they're actually being ordered to do things to patients that they know are going to kill them. Another very common thing they do is give them overdoses of morphine and then they stop breathing. But have you had any experiences up in your neck of the woods in that regard?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of things and I'm hearing a lot of things about people succumbing to stuff that they wouldn't regularly die from 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and there's certainly an increase in it. I interview people in the medical system as frequently as possible to try and, get up to speed on what they're doing to us and to keep abreast of it. And obviously they're killing us. It's population reduction, as they've been doing for quite some time. But no specific cases I can report about that. However, there is a lot of stuff on aerosol electromagnetic warfare that seems to be surfacing, where people are just having heart attacks or, you know, brain infarctions or cranial pressure, neurological dysfunction, and stuff like that. And I'm wondering if you can discern the difference between this autism, or not autism, but the subacute panencephalitis and other vaccination produced symptoms and this technotronic stuff, because I know that's a very real thing, and people should know that it was mentioned in Zbigniew Brzezinski's Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era, published in 1970. They allude that they were going to use this system to dumb and bring down the population.
So, right. Well, let me just say, although I'm focusing on vaccines today, I like to always say it's always the big picture. You know, it's vaccines, heavy metals, fluoride, pesticide, aspartame. The list is endless. Okay, and chemtrails are a big part of it. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought up the chemtrails, because two of the known ingredients of chemtrails are barium and aluminum, and I was amazed to see on this Eastern Star Witch, Nancy Grace. She has a show on HLN on the evenings during the week. And she was talking about a doctor in Tennessee who was accused of trying to kill his wife by putting barium in her coffee. Now, barium is in chemtrails, and barium is also the stuff that the white stuff they give you to drink anytime you have an X-ray study of your GI system. And I was an X-ray technician before I went to medical school. We were never taught about any dangers of barium. And here we have a doctor being charged trying to murder his wife because he put barium in a coffee. How much barium can you put in coffee as compared to the huge glasses of barium they give people to drink during these studies?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm even suspicious about the contrast they put in for CT scans or any kind of these imaging programs. I'm starting to think of it as something that would manifest in pathology very quickly, like probably within a few years, or I don't know, you know?
Well, actually, I encourage the listeners to listen to the archive of the show I did yesterday on Orion Talk Radio, where I discussed these dangerous diagnostic tests. And I covered the contrast media. The contrast media for MRIs and CAT scans cause renal failure. So, you know, you can have, you know, vaccine-induced renal failure. They send you for a CAT scan or MRI. They give you this contrast media. And then you end up with fulminant renal failure and you need dialysis or a transplant. This is how they're creating never-ending customers for the medical mafia. And, of course, the end point is death. But until you die, you're going to suffer a great deal.
Yeah. Remember the stuff they injected my Canadian Coalition of the Walking Wounded and American Coalition of the Walking Wounded co-founder, Bruce Junker, who was Mary Ann Hennen was co-founder of the American Coalition, too. But he was the other co-founder because he's got dual citizenship. He's an injured worker up in Saskatchewan that's being killed and by being denied medical treatment and actually having his pathology exacerbated by medical testing for the insurance corporation due to work-related injuries. And they'd injected him with something like, I think it was a steroid or something, into his spinal area. And we were looking at subarachnus. I forget the name of the disease that it caused.
Subarachnoiditis.
Yeah, and it's basically the fusion, the melting together of all these critical components of the nervous system, that, like, because it breaks off into caudia below the thoracic junction, right? It's a thoracic lumbar junction. So you have basically branches of nerves, and they're all just getting fused together and completely compromised and swollen so that they can't, you know, they produce pain and torsion of the spine and all kinds of symptoms. So I was wanting you to comment on that too, because you know the correlation between that and the mylar sheath that you were talking about, over or around the nerves, the nervous system. It seems similar in that it sort of seems to be this toxic compound, almost like a thing that would eat and melt together, nerves. And, it's just all just really, really dark and sick stuff. I mean, hideous.
Well, like I said, it's always the big picture, and I don't really have time to get into a big thing about that right now. I don't have enough time left, and we have another caller waiting. But I will caution you to stop saying that he was denied medical treatment, because medical treatment is what is killing people.
Oh,
okay?
Right.
So
yeah,
what people have to do is learn how to reverse their conditions with natural therapies. And in fact, the diagnostic test, as you mentioned, that they're doing on people, this is how they lead you to the ultimate point where there's absolutely nothing that can be done. And in most cases, the suffering from these situations is just beyond the pale.
Yeah. So medical treatment is actually, he's getting medical treatment, all right. Yeah. What they do all the time.
He's getting the treatment. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, point taken. Good point. Like, I like to sort of use language that brings people along more quickly rather than giving them the chance to sort of not think about it and not know more quickly. So that's
right.
Good.
But by saying he's denied medical treatment, you're actually implying that medical treatment would help him, and it won't.
Right. Yeah,
medical
good point.
The medical treatment's what got him into this situation in the first place. Okay, I want to get to the next caller. Thank you so much for calling, Alex. Keep up your good work up there in Vancouver trying to wake up the sleeping masses there. I'd like to bring on Marilyn from Nevada. Are you there, Marilyn?
Yes, hi, Dr.
Hello.
Carling. Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that you're back on. I missed you when you and Patrick left. Will Patrick be on with you, Sam?
No.
Okay. All right, I always like hearing you. I remember that before the end of your time on RBM before, Patrick talked about white powder gold and how that we were actually paying for expensive stuff that was very bad for us and kind of evil. Do you remember? What is your opinion about that?
Well, there's many people that promote products that have powdered gold in it, and in fact, as far as my research goes, this is another way that they're corrupting our genetic structure. So you have to really use discernment and check out the products that you're purchasing. As a matter of fact, the alternative medicine community has been really overtaken by Big Pharma. There's many products that are being made that are actually causing more harm than good. In fact, what I'm trying to get back to more and more. I take a lot of homeopathics. I used to take a handful of supplements every day, and as many of the supplements I was taking, I found out they had magnesium stearate in them. You can check out the dangers of magnesium stearate online. It's very bad for you, and if you're taking, you know, 10 capsules that all have magnesium stearate in them, you're taking a massive dose of magnesium stearate. The best thing we all need to do is just try to eat as much organic food as possible. You know, food should be our medicine. And that's the best way that you can keep yourself healthy. Of course, it's getting increasingly difficult to find organic food because even if you have a reliable organic farmer that's selling you organic food, their food's being sprayed with chemtrails as well. And, you know, if you have a West Nile outbreak, you're like down there in Texas, you know, all of their organic farms are going to be sprayed with pesticides because of the alleged problem with the West Nile virus. So it's getting harder and harder as time goes on to stay healthy. But the most important thing people need to do is to educate themselves and to find out what is bad for you and avoid it as much as possible. For example, it's almost impossible to go in the grocery stores and find a product that doesn't have aspartame in it, because aspartame has so many names, they're even calling it natural flavorings now. And aspartame is another deadly poison. So education is key.
Yes, I have been disturbed about the magnesium stearate, and bring it up with companies, and they protest that it's okay and so forth. But it actually came from the pharmaceutical industry. It's just something to make the equipment run better and make a bigger buck for the manufacturer to make their equipment run smoothly so it doesn't gunk up. And it's a hydrogenated oil, right? It comes in looking like liquid plastic, I heard. In fact, one doctor I know of called it melted credit cards.
Interesting. Well, you know, basically we vote with our credit cards, basically.
I've got another question if I can hang on.
Yeah, sure. People have to stop buying these products. That's how we stop them. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Yes, hold on, Marilyn. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where my answer today was vaccine-induced diseases, but we've been covering other subjects as well. And we have Marilyn on the line from Nevada. What else did you want to bring up, Marilyn?
I'll get to the one of the two I have left, but Parkinson's. I'm hearing now that it can be caused by a prion, and can the prions, I believe, can be caused by our childhood injections that we had, and I do have Parkinson's. And I know there is no test for Parkinson's. They just look at you, look at your symptoms, and make a guess. But what do you say about that and about the prions and your program for Parkinson's?
Well, amazingly, Parkinson's was one of the few diseases that I actually learned in medical school was highly involved with pesticide use. But, of course, vaccines are involved as well. So with my clients that have Parkinson's, they need to detox their vaccinations. They need to detox the pesticides. And there's different homeopathic and other supplements you can take to help to build up the brain. The substantia nigra, it's called, of the brain that's actually affected with Parkinson's disease. Prions, as far as I'm aware, are highly involved with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which in cows is called mad cow disease. Although, like I said, it's always the big picture. We've all been exposed to so many things. But there are also homeopathic remedies to detox prions. So pretty much anything can be detoxed with homeopathic remedies, not constitutional remedies, but the clinical remedies, the no-sodes that I teach my clients about. And so that's the good news. These things can be reversed. But you also have to avoid the needle and avoid, you know, any cow. They do have meat that's sold that's allegedly organic. Although, unfortunately, even though cows may not be getting bovine growth hormone shots and maybe, you know, grass-fed and things of that nature, most of them are getting vaccinated. People have no clue how many animals that we eat are being vaccinated. As a matter of fact, I tell people that like to eat chicken wings, that's where the chickens get their vaccines, is in their wings. So when you're eating that plate of wings, enjoy your vaccines because you're eating viruses.
Okay, I don't eat that stuff. Okay.
What was your other question?
Well, Patrick always also talked about ormus maybe being kind of a deceptive thing that we're made to think might be a miracle element.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What element?
Ormus.
Ormus. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anything about ormus. Remind me what that is.
Well, it's an element, and I hear it and advertised occasionally. In fact, on one program on the RBN, and I'm sure the guy's sincere. He says he's had very good results with it. And but I have a friend who got some, and he said it didn't do anything for him, which, you know, that's not too unusual. But so it's an element. It's supposed to be a very, you know, anti-aging element and good things. But maybe I have to find something for you and send you.
Okay. And, well, let me just say, because we're almost out of time, Marilyn, in my opinion, there is no such thing as a magic bullet. These products that claim that they do everything, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. It's not possible. You need to address different things. Detoxification, alkalization, unstructured immune system, and natural things to repair the damage. Okay, folks, thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. Where my guest is going to be Kevin Annette of the International Tribunal of Crimes and Churches. Okay.
Paul Drockton.